The question today, brethren, did the old covenant change with the new covenant? Very important question for the world today that don't understand. They think that the new covenant is here and it's dropped the old covenant. It could not be further from the truth. So we're going to go right from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. Bear with me. I got plenty of scriptures over here, but this is the Sabbath. No better place to be and no other place to go. Okay, here we go. Genesis 1, starting at 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. There's many brethren, and not brethren, people out there that don't even believe that God has a nose, eyes, and ears. They don't even understand that. Because most of them are walking around with half a Bible again. Verse 31, brethren. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, brethren, we're going to go right through this over here from the beginning. This is where the covenant started, where a covenant started, okay? Chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Brethren, that was a law. That was the first law. The first law that Adam and Eve were dealt with. And it was a covenant. It was a covenant. It was also a covenant. We have to understand these things. Notice he never said, the Lord, go to the tree of life. Because the tree of life brings immortality and would have brought immortality. Brethren, he brought them not to the tree of good and evil, because he was teaching them daily. He was teaching them, Adam and Eve, daily. They were, let's say, 25-year-old babies, but they were adults. But they were still babies mentally, for what God wanted to show them. Eventually, he would have brought them to the tree of life. But he would have brought them to the tree of good and evil first, but he needed to teach them first. Notice Satan, the devil, never brought them to the tree of life. Satan didn't want competition, because God would have had a real mess on his hands. Because when you go to chapter 4, which we're not going to do, you would see he says, let's get man out of the garden, or else they will be like we are. They would have been immortal. They would have had immortality, brethren. God knew he had to move and move fast. And he did, of course. Chapter 4 of the same Genesis, 1 through 7, brethren. Chapter 4, 1 through 7. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fatlings thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain it was his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very angry. And his face fell. And the Lord said, Cain, why are you so angry? And why is your face fallen? If you did well, you should have be accepted. If you did well, you shall not be accepted. And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And towards you its desire. But you should rule over it. Again, remember the Masoretic text, brethren. Your Bible may not say that, but it's right there in the context it should be in. This is as close as we're going to get to the original. Right here. There is no original, but this is the closest you're going to get. Brethren, they were having sacrifices at that time. The world doesn't understand that. Because in Genesis it doesn't say that the Sabbath, that man was keeping the Sabbath. The whole world looks at that and says, it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply. They're not there. They don't have to keep the Sabbath. But as we go on, you're going to see that the covenant started right from the beginning, and we're going to go right through the scriptures, and we're going to see all this here. Same book, Genesis 4. Genesis 4, 15 through 17. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, let me make sure I'm in the right deal over here. I don't want to be messing up over here. No, that's why it's to mess up. Genesis 9, brethren, Genesis 9. 15, Genesis 9, 15 through 17. Of course, this was after the days of Noah, brethren. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall be no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look unto it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. Notice covenants. It doesn't have to only be the covenant that Moses brought down from the mountain. God has different covenants. But I want to make this clear that there are different covenants. But we're going to get to the point, we're going to start talking about the everlasting covenant. The covenant that does not change and did not change. Only some things were added, but they didn't change, brethren. Genesis 26, brethren. Let's go right through this over here and get some kind of understanding. Genesis 26, starting at verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, listen, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Brethren, the commandments weren't even codified yet. They weren't codified until Exodus 20, when they came down. I'm here to tell you on the authority of Jesus Christ that all these commandments, these men knew and these men kept. They kept. Go right back to just get a little influence on this. Genesis 18, what the Lord himself is speaking to Abraham. Genesis 18, starting at verse 19. Listen up what he's saying. For I know him, the Lord is saying about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way. When I look up the word the way, the word is 1870. It's the commandments of God. It's the commandments of God. And the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, which that word justice is 6666, and it's the word is righteousness. The word is righteousness. Brethren, that's why I take my time on a Sunday to go and find and do these things. So, brethren, we can understand and get closer to what the Lord is saying. We don't have to go here, but if anybody's writing notes, the Lord said the same exact thing to the Pharisees and Sadducees in John 8:34. He said the same words he's saying here. Of course, we're talking about the same God that was in the Old Testament that was there. They got on his butt and they wanted to kill him because he said that he was there with Abraham. They wanted to kill him because of that. But remember the Old Testament, brethren. Remember in the wilderness when the Lord was opposing Satan the devil. They went back and forth with the Old Testament, not with the New Testament. When you go to Matthew 4:4, it says clearly that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you shall do. Because men do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was the Lord's answer to the devil, Satan the devil. Most of the world don't see these things. They only want to see a New Testament where they can do what they want to do. No. You do what God says to do, and not what man says to do, and not with the tradition of men. We don't follow the tradition of men. We follow the Word of God in the Church of God. That is the true Church of God. We follow the Word of God, and we tell it like it is. We don't please people, because the speaker is going to have to answer to the Lord, according to Ezekiel 33. As a watchman, I'm watching for you and myself. I'm not above you. I've only got a greater responsibility. Remember that, brethren. I'm not above you. I've got a greater responsibility. And I'm not going to shun it. I'm not going to shun it. The Lord is never going to come to me, I pray, and say, what about Thomas? What about Lloyd? What about Lulu? What about Bobby? And all that are sitting here. Not going to do that. But I'm going to say what I got to say, and then it's going to be up to you and up to me as individuals to practice it and not sin. Practice this book. Brethren, here we are and here we go. Deuteronomy 4. We're going to go right up, and we're going to start hitting the covenant. And what is the covenant? Deuteronomy 4, starting at verse 8. And what nation is there? Let me start from verse 7. For what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? The statutes, brethren, are also the holy days. Also the holy days. Only take heed, listen up, only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them your sons and your sons' sons. Same chapter, brethren. Now we'll get to verse 12 to 14. And the Lord spoke unto you out of the mist, out of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but you saw no form. Only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant. He declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments, brethren. He wrote them upon two tables of stone. He wrote them with the finger of his own hand. This was Jesus Christ before he became the Son of God. This is he who wrote the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them a second time after Moses broke the first tablets. But he commanded that Moses should make a new set, good teaching, because he broke the ones that the Lord made, and then he proceeded to write again on them. 14. And the Lord commanded me at that time, listen, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, if you're not keeping the commandments of the living God and the statutes and the judgments with them, that is the way that the Lord surgically brings in his first resurrected, you'll be in a second resurrection. But you're going to be in a first resurrection, you must be keeping the Sabbath day with the commandments and the statutes and judgments. Because we don't look for the land of Canaan, what they were looking for. We're looking for the kingdom of God. We're looking for what these men were looking for in Hebrews 11. That's the faith chapter. That's the land what we're looking for. When Jesus Christ comes down to this earth and sends his angels to recover and recoup us, according to Matthew 24, that's what we're looking for. And God's word says that we'll be always with the Lord. Always with the Lord. Brethren, turn with me, chapter 29 of Deuteronomy. And then we're going to kick right out of here. We're going to go right forward. Because I want you to have a foundation of what we're dealing with and what the Lord calls a covenant. There's many on the tape. This is for the purpose of the tape people also. They need to hear and know and understand these things, brethren. 29, verse 9. Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Verse 14. Neither with you only, listen here very carefully, brethren, because Moses is also projecting himself into the future time, into the future, where we are right now, February 14, 2004, the 21st century. Neither with you only do I make this covenant, listen very carefully, and this oath, but with them that stand here with us this day, before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Brethren, that went all the way to this day. February 14th, 04. It's come all the way to this day that Paul is talking about. Strangers and Gentiles also. They also came out of Egypt. They also had to be circumcised. But now it's circumcision of the heart. Unfortunately, there's some brethren that weren't here last week because I did a sermon on that. Has the commandments gone to the heart? Yes, they have. That's where circumcision. That's one of the things that God, who is the boss, has the right to change what he wants to change for the benefit of mankind. And circumcision went to the heart. And we'll find that out. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Go to verse 29, the same chapter, 29. Listen carefully, brethren. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us. Unto us. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the Lord, of the law. Praise God, line upon line, precept upon precept, according to Isaiah 28, Christ said the same exact thing to his apostles. You don't have to go there. It's Matthew 13, verse 11. He says to his apostles, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of God, but them it has not. This is the same God who was speaking here on behalf of the Father. Never misunderstand what Ricky's saying here. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but the Father is numero uno. He even said so. My Father is greater than I am. Now we might have a little deal with them that don't understand the Holy Spirit. That's another sermon. But that's the power of God, and I can prove that. That another being. Easily proven. When you have your eyes, the veil taken off your eyes and your ears unstopped, according to 2 Corinthians 3. Go with me, brethren, please, for some continuity here. And hold yourself in the Old Testament here. Because I'm just bringing us to Acts 2 real quick. I want you to see the continuity of the Lord through the men that he's teaching to bring these words to you and I. Okay, Acts 2, brethren, 38 through 34. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, to receive the Holy Spirit, you must be obeying God, because Peter himself said, I'm turning there, in Acts 5:32, he said this here, him is God, and first, Acts 5:31, him is God exalted with his right hand and to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, which are the transgression of the law, according to 1 John 3. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay him. The law will always get you killed. It had Stephen killed also. All you got to do is go to Acts 7 and see at the end of his testimony what got him killed and what they couldn't stand. They couldn't stand to be mirrored and knew that they had to obey the law of God. This man here, 2,000 years ago, is telling you and I, to receive the Holy Spirit of God, you must be obeying him. Is it a free gift? Yes, it is. But with obedience, brethren. Peter is telling us with the Holy Spirit, and this is the time that it came in mass, according to the fulfillment of Joel. And he would never say these things. This was an opportunity for this man to change it all. We don't have to keep the commandments. We don't have to obey God anymore. It's all been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. All that we have to do is confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and you shall be saved. Yes, the Lord said those things. But these men already knew who he was talking to. They were keeping the way of God. They were keeping what God was saying to do. He wasn't talking to mainly Gentiles. He was talking to Israel, Israelites. They knew the way of life. They knew the commandments. Go right back with me to Acts 2, brethren. 39. For listen what's being said here. The same thing was said in Deuteronomy 29. The same exact thing all these years afterwards. For the promises unto you, to your children, and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and urge and advise, Lord says exhort, saying, save yourselves from this perverse generation. I tell you today, save yourselves from this perverse generation, because it's you and I that are individual. God is looking at you individually. He's not looking at your husband. He's not looking at your daughter. He's looking at you. He's looking at me. You need to be taking charge of your own lives, brethren. And you need to be obeying God and doing what He says to do. Go right back to the Old Testament, Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. Let's see what this man has to say. Ezekiel 36, brethren. Ezekiel 36. We have a God that's been writing this book. He wrote it for at least thousands of years before it became in our hands. And I was talking to people at the shop, and I even said to them and mentioned to them, we can't even, as human beings, we can't even whisper in one's ear and go 10 people forward and get the same exact thing that's being said. Don't ever doubt that these are the words of God. But what I just said to you, we've got men here by the Spirit of God that were writing for thousands of years in continuity with one to the other. Listen to the simple example that I gave you. We're dealing with a God that says that He, as these men were given to write, it was through the Spirit of God. And that is absolutely profound. It's right there. You can see that. The Lord said in John 10 that not one scripture could be broken. Not one. But you know, your understanding of that scripture could be different. But not the understanding that God brings to you once He reveals these things to you. And you keep getting closer to that God because He keeps showing you more and more and more and more. Before you know it, the Lord will be here. That's the deal. That's the deal of the Sabbath. To bring us to that point, Ezekiel 36, brethren, starting at verse 25. Ezekiel 36, starting at verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water unto you, baptism, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Listen, listen, listen. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a new heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, the holy days, and all the other statutes that He brought also. There's other statutes that He brought. In other words, do not defile yourself, one, a man with man, a woman with woman. Those are statutes also. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I tell you, if you do these things, you'll be in the kingdom of God. That's what He was showing. That's what your God and my God was showing. That we were walking, and we're walking to the kingdom of God. I will also save you from your uncleanliness. And I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Listen to that, it's coming, brethren. Them that don't follow the living God, they will be separated. They will be separated, and they will not be fed, and they will not be protected. And I will multiply the fruit of the trees and increase of the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then you shall remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourselves in the sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Brethren, I'm here to tell you that before baptizement, after I was counseled and after, I remember these days. I remember loathing myself for the things that I had done in my life. But the Lord also said that He pulled us out by the scruff of the neck and saves us. But I remember those things. But I tell you not to dwell on them, because Satan the devil wants you there. Those things God has forgotten. God has forgotten all your past. But it's good once in a while, just for making mistakes and not continuing mistakes, remember where you were. But then get out of there. Get out of there as quick as you know how. But that's where Satan wants you to be downtrodden and not be happy and not have joy. This is what you and I need. We have to listen to the Lord and what He says. He's the one. This is our handbook, like I mentioned the other day. When you go and you want to know about your Chevrolet, this is for Lloyd Stone, your Chevrolet, and you're looking in there and you're trying to find out all about this newfangled automobile, guess what? You go to the glove box. And guess what else? You don't have a book that talks about a Chrysler. These are the things that you and I have to understand. This is what the Lord is doing for us. This is our handbook. We're like His vehicles. So we go in there and we look and we see what's going on, and we try to obey the Lord the way He says to obey Him. This is the way we go, brethren. Ezekiel 11. Just back right up. Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel 11. I'm going back there as quickly as I can. Ezekiel 11. Kind of says the same thing a little bit, but that's okay. Starting at verse 19. I'll start at verse 18. Ezekiel 11, verse 18. And they shall come there, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from there. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of the flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that you may walk in the statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walks after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will reward their way upon their heads, saith the Lord God. You can take that to the bank, brethren, when He says what He's going to do. As He says in Matthew 16, that He will come with His reward for the righteous, He will also deal with these individuals. And we're going to go there. Jeremiah 31, brethren. Jeremiah 31, then we're going to go to the New Testament. Jeremiah 31. Listen up. Listen what's being said here, because I want you to hear these words, and I want you to remember them. When it comes up next time that somebody says to you about the new covenant and how it's been done away, I want you to take them to some of the words, and one of them is Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, starting at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. They broke. My covenant? Okay, which covenant? They broke. Okay, and I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant. Listen. The covenant hasn't changed. This, Paul was quoting from Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. He was quoting Jeremiah 31. All you have to do later on is be a Berean and see if it's there. It's there. This is what the deal was. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. In other words, after Pentecost, I will put my laws in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Brethren, on whose authority would you or I have to take the fourth commandment away from the laws of God that are put in your hearts after you receive the Holy Spirit? The world has done that. The world has moved to the first day of the week. On whose authority? Not God's. Not God's authority. They moved to the first day of the week. I'm saying this in continuity, because Paul would have never recited these scriptures had they not been appropriate. And that we needed to hear that. That they went from the tables of stone to hear. He also talks about being in the frontals of your mind, where you think they've got to be right there. When you're doing something or going to do something that's not right, you have to rely on the Spirit of God and not the carnal mind to not do it. And that's where Paul was speaking in Romans 8. Not to deal with the carnal mind, because the carnal mind is death. It's death. Talks about that in Romans 6 also. The wages of sin are death. Ezekiel 18. The soul that sins shall surely die. Let's get it, brethren. Don't be like somebody walking around out there with every whim that comes across you, and you start to go in that direction. No, you let God be your guide. You let God be your guide. Brethren, Mark 14. Now we'll get into the New Testament. Mark 14, brethren. Mark 14. It's going to be a little... Let's see. Mark 14. Oh, boy. Okay. Very important. Starting at verse 22, brethren. This is the Passover night. The Passover night that the Lord died spiritually for his apostles and for you and I. Brethren, the world doesn't understand this. The next day at 3 o'clock, the Lord died for the world. For them that would come up with the second resurrection, them that would be taught, according to John 6:45, the Lord said, and all will be taught of God. This night, the Lord died for you and I if you have the Spirit of God. If not, you need to go with God's calling and start understanding and start obeying Him and be baptized and get anointed with the laying on of hands and receive the Spirit of God, like it says in Acts 5:32, and then start walking your walk towards the kingdom of God. Verse 22 of Mark 14. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Again, he's talking to the 12. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, listen, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is the New Covenant. Look it up. The New Testament, which is shed for many. Notice he didn't say all mankind, shed for many. Truly I say unto you, he said, of course, I will not drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Remember, brethren, the question, and remember line upon line and precept upon precept. Our Lord said the same thing in John, I believe it's John 6. Let's go there, John 6 real quick. It's not on my schedule, but it's okay. The Spirit of God, as He works, you need to listen to it. And I'm listening to it very, 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 very clearly. He wants me to take you there. Okay. John 6, starting at verse 50. This is the bread. He was talking to the Jews and the Pharisees at the time. Don't forget, in this book over here would be John 13, the Passover. But the idea is, he says in 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, I will give for the life of the world. For the Jews therefore spoke among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, truly I say unto you, listen to what's being said here. Truly I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. If you're not taking the Passover yearly, brethren, as is also said in 1 Corinthians 11, as Paul was taught, And the world gets all blown out of the way because it says there, as often as you take it. They also knew at that time that it was yearly, not daily, not every week, not every day, not every night. It was yearly. Understand that. Okay? 54. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Listen what's being said here, brethren. When I said from the Old Testament that you must keep the statutes and the judgments and the commandments of God, that is what the Lord is looking for also. And that is, like I said, he surgically removes them that are going to be in the first resurrection, in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 20. That's how he's doing it. He's got to have some way of doing it, and he's showing it to us. The world has not seen these scriptures. Has not seen these scriptures. Mark 20, Hebrews 12, brethren. Hebrews 12. Here we go, right after the faith chapter. Hebrews 12, 23, 24, and 24. Okay. I'll start at verse 22. But you have drawn near to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. To the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of judged men made perfect. Just men are always them that are the righteous and then keeping the commandments of God. Okay? And the judge is Jesus Christ. According to John 5:22, the Father judges no man but gave all the authority to Jesus Christ, because he knows what was in man. And he's the perfect judge of man. Perfect judge of man. Who did it all for you and I, brethren. Who did it all for you and I. Still in the same book. Hebrews. Come on. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. I'm going to start at verse 6. Hebrews 13. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Remember them which have rule over you, brethren. Remember them that have rule over you, the ministers of God. Okay? Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Of course, be not carried away about with various and strange teaching, for it is a good thing that the heart be confirmed with grace, favor, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied where therein. So in Hebrews 13, brethren, I'm trying to get my eyes focused again. Okay, 17, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them. Again, he's being specific. Obey them that have rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is improper for you. Brethren, when I say that, I also say submit yourselves to those that are preaching the word of God, and you know that they are. You know that they are, because Paul is telling us very, very clearly, that they look out for your soul. I'm not talking about them that go off and go out of this here. No, you run away from them. You run away from them that are teaching contrary to what God's word is, because I just got finished reading, brethren, that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Malachi 3 is the same thing. I change not. That's the God of the Old Testament, which was Jesus Christ. And his Father changes not also. Be very, very careful when you look and you want to go and follow others that don't go with this word of God. Drop down to verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Remember, it doesn't change. Brethren, the only thing that changed was the blood of Jesus Christ is on you and me for the forgiveness of sins. But the same laws we must look at to know what sin is. Even Paul said, I didn't even know what sin was until the law brought it to me. He didn't know what sin was. I could say the same thing today. But you and I are hearing differently today. We're hearing about the covenant. And the difference is the blood of Jesus Christ. That covers you and I, brethren. Let's go for that. Let's go for that. And let's go to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John, brethren. I want you to see also how this God changes not. 1 John, brethren. 1 John 6 through 10. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In other words, there's no sin in God. There's only righteousness and the right way to go. If we say that we have fellowship with God and Jesus Christ and walk in darkness where Satan the devil's realm is, we lie and we do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light where God is and Jesus Christ are, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth of God is not in us again. If we confess our sins, brethren, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which is breaking the laws of God. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2. This is very, very pertinent, brethren. Very, very pertinent. 1 through 7. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one that did it all, the one that kept the commandments perfectly. And he is the proposition for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, eventually. The time schedule that God is following, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And hereby we do know that we know him, God the Father and the Son, if we keep his commandments. The Lord never came to bring his own commandments. As far as John is concerned, he only came to speak what the Father told him to speak, and nothing more. That's what he did, according to John, when you read it. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, listen, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. For whosoever keeps the word in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we know him. This is how we know that we know him. Okay? Listen. He that said he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, how did Jesus Christ walk? Did he not keep the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments? Yes. Had he not, we would have no Messiah. Had the Lord ate a piece of pork, you and I would have no Messiah. John is telling us we must walk even as Jesus Christ walked. But the blood of Jesus Christ forgives us of our sin. The world doesn't see that again. To walk like Jesus Christ is to keep the commandments of God, as he did. I'm not writing a new commandment. I'm quoting what Jesus Christ is saying through John. 2:7. But, brethren, I write no new commandment. I write no new commandment unto you, but the old commandment, what you had from the beginning, the old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Brethren, turn with me to Isaiah 24 real quick. But I want to show you, and I want you to see real quick what I'm talking about. This is very, very important. We may run over a little bit, but this is too important not to get and to understand what's going to happen. Isaiah 24, starting at verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down and scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof. This hasn't happened at any time since the flood. Listen. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with the mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, which is interest, so with the giver of usury to him. Listen, the land shall be utterly empty and spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. Is there anybody here that could tell me that once the word of the Lord comes out of his mouth, that it will come back void? If you can, then you're not following the word of God. Anything that the Lord says will never come back void. This is the Lord has spoken this word. Now listen to what he said. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Just languish. Just read the news and see all the stupidity that's going on the cable news and your Volusia County news, whatever news you turn on. Haughty people. Listen, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Listen carefully, brethren. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, which they have, they've gone to the first day of the week, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate. And before the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and a few men left. You tell me, has this happened yet, brethren? It hasn't. It's coming because of the breaking of the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments of God. He's coming back with a lot more patience than Ricky has. But I would have come back and I would have done it already. I wouldn't have waited another minute with these people. And you know, sometimes even the Lord got short, where even Moses had to tell him, Lord, you know, I'm paraphrasing, hold up a little bit. These people are going to think that you killed these people because you couldn't bring them where you wanted to go, where they needed to go. And the Lord repented. Even the Lord gets angry, but it's justified anger. He never gets angry in sin. When he took those animals and threw them out of the house of God, he was angry. But he sinned not, brethren. Jeremiah, getting right to the end of it. Jeremiah 24, 25, brethren. You need to be hearing these things and you need to be putting them into your heart. This is the word of God speaking. All I'm doing is being a mouthpiece for the Most High. That's all that Ricky's doing here. I give all the glory to God. I don't want anybody to ever look at a man behind a pulpit. Never. They're only doing what God has ordained them to do. Anything more than that, it's idolatry. Here we go. Isaiah 25, the last chapter, brethren. Isaiah 25. Okay, almost the last chapter. Okay, here we go. Okay. Isaiah 25. Come on. I'm not cracking up over here. Oh, sorry, Isaiah. Okay, we can go up there. Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I'm sorry. 25 through 31. I'm just going to hop, skip, and jump here. 25 29, for lo, behold, I begin to bring evil on a city which is called by my name, and should you be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished. For I will call for the sword upon the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy you against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall war from on high and utter his voice from the holy habitation, shall mightily war upon this habitation, he shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against the inhabitants of the earth. Just turn back to Jeremiah 9. That's where I want to be. That's going to tell you exactly what's going on here, which I could say. Jeremiah 9. That's the last chapter. Listen what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 9, starting at verse 24. But let him, this is future, brethren, for let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, the Lord. And I am the Lord with exercises, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, not in one spot, in the whole earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Listen up, that I will punish all them that are circumcised with the uncircumcised. In other words, the Israelites, of the them of Judah, all the world, circumcised and uncircumcised. Egypt, then he goes on to say, Egypt, Judah, Edom, and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the uttermost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised. All the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. They will not obey God. To this day, they will not obey God. Go to me, and go with me. Revelations 2, just about to the nitty gritty here. I want you to have a whole rounded understanding of what's going on here through the scriptures of the Most High. Revelations 2, verse 7 and 11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life. Listen, remember the question. To him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11, brethren. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. We'll get right into that right now, because we're going to get into Revelation 20, brethren. We're going to find out right now what the angel of God was saying to these churches and how it has continuity with the covenant of God. Okay? Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls that were beheaded of the witnesses of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had the mark of his hand, mark upon his forehead or in his hand, and they lived and reigned with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. Anybody that tells you that they're going to be raptured before time, they're not understanding what God is saying here. Revelation 11 says that the beast at that time is going to have an image that's going to be there. And you're going to be forced to worship that image. That means you're there, brethren. You and I are going to go through the tribulation, all of it. But we'll be protected by the Almighty. Psalms 91 shows that, and there's many others. Psalms 134. There's many places that show protection. But you and I are going to be there. Don't ever think that you're going to miss all these things. The only way you're going to miss it is if you die. You and I die would be a blessing not to have to go through that. You'll already be in the arms of God. And that resurrection, you'll be there. The only way you're going to miss it is being dead. The only way you're going to miss it. That's 20. That's 4, and I read 6. 22, chapter 22. Chapter 22, 11 and 12. Remember, we just read from the churches and what God, the Lord said to the angel. This is giving you more continuity and understanding. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, in other words, obeying God, let him be righteous still. And he had this, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. This is the Lord. According to Matthew 16 also. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To every man according to his work shall be. When you look up the word work, it's the cause of action demanded by the law. 2041, that's the word. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Listen. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Okay? That word is 1785. God's laws. God's laws. They shall have the right to the tree of life and may enter to the gates into the city. They are those that were being spoke of by Jesus Christ, the wide and the narrow gate. These are the ones that are going to go into that gate, the narrow gate. The wide gate is the destruction, and many there go up to go through, the Lord said. Again, line upon line. Brethren, before I go to my last scripture, and right here where we are, we have come full circle. I got it written over here because I want it right. This came to my mind at the time. Nobody else is doing this but Ricky through the Spirit of God. We've come to circle, for we have come full circle from Adam and Eve, one sin to death, and one death for sin through Jesus Christ unto eternal life with obeying God. So my last scripture is verse 20. He which testifies these things say, surely I come quickly, and I say, and I know you say, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus Christ. May you all be blessed by our Lord and Father.